This is a HeadGum Original.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
If I were you, the shark, if I if I were you,
if I were you.
Yeah.
Very nice.
How's that for a UK-based song for our UK-based guests? Max and Yvonne from the Sound Deals podcast. Woo. On HeadGum.
Hello, hello. Hello, hello, Jake and Emma. Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
Yes.
What a joyous song.
Do you guys, I don't know if you guys can hear British accents in songs. It seems like, as an American, I can't tell the difference if it's a Brit or an American singing. Is that a common musical phenomenon even there?
I would say that there was a clear moment in my childhood when, like, it went, I think for a while all pop music sounded, I think basically English people were being American when they sung when we were growing up, and then it kind of veered the other way and people were like, no, we're gonna have aggressively English accents that
we're gonna sing like this.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you were thinking of Lily Allen.
Oh yeah, no,
I was thinking of the Arctic Monkeys.
Okay, yeah.
You used to get it in your fishnet.
Oh, I didn't even know that they were British.
Did you not?
No.
Well, Alex Turner has since kind of gone American and gone obviously mad, so which is like the correct rock and roll thing to do. But no, he's got that. What's his like? That, have you heard his speech? He's like, this rock and roll just doesn't end. This rock and roll.
Well, I know I've not.
It's poetic. poetic craziness. It's exactly what you want. It's what our leading front men need. I don't want sitting around normally. They need to be off on a spiritual journey of great, great self-destructiveness, really.
That's right.
We need to live through these guys.
Ideally.
Yeah. I wish we were playing a game like where we listen to songs and Jake and I would have to guess, is this person British or American?
That's for next time.
Unfortunately, I didn't think about that game until right now.
Okay, so I'll just sing.
Okay, you're going to sing a song
in the style of the singer.
Okay.
Wait, you're going to sing it in the style of the singer or are you going to sing one of their songs?
Both.
Okay. And then you've got to guess.
Okay, so this is an a cappella karaoke version.
Okay, and for some reason, the only song that comes to my head at this particular moment is I Know a Girl with a Golden Touch. What's that?
It has to be. With lyrics
that
like that?
British. That was absolutely
especially
British.
Coming out of your mouth.
A golden touch. Yeah.
Golden touch. Do you think that? Why do you think that's quintessentially British? Do you think it's like it's old Cockney street slang? Or
actually,
something?
I think it was. Oh no, wait. No, I'm totally. Yeah. No, it's British. It's British.
It is indeed. It is indeed British. I believe that is okay. Razor Light.
It is Razor Light.
Did you just take a sip of tea? I mean, my God, you're tipping your hand. That was. Oh. What is that? Is that an old cuppa, as they call it?
Listen, Governor, when you're recording a podcast in London Town, you've got to bang a gong, and then the mayor comes out of his wooden hut, and he gives you access.
Sing the national anthem thrice.
He sings it thrice, and that's a British song, and make no mistake about it.
We can't have a British guest on with me just fantasizing about the accent. Like, I'm never going to be over the accent. I don't know what it is. I just can't stop.
They talk different. They talk different than us, and it's fascinating. And it's
well, listen,
good
we like to be hospitable. We could swap accents for the entire podcast if you like. You know,
wow.
Let's hear your American though.
Okay, great. Well, wow. So we're here with Jake and Amir. It's great to have you guys on the podcast. Thank you so much for coming. Hey,
wow,
Simon,
that's pretty
LA
good.
And I'm I'm not.
And I've got a golden touch. Oh no, damn! It was so convincing until the quintessentially British catchphrase came out.
What about Adele? Is she British?
Oh yeah, no. Adele. Adele does have. I'd say Adele sings with. She's got an amazing dichotomy because she sings with this kind of unplaceable transatlantic, probably slightly American-y, voice,
but then she talks like a little street urchin.
I'm from Tottenham. I'm from I'm Adele. She's great. I think that's partly why everyone loves her so much because
I thought she was from Michigan.
Yeah, right.
No way. I mean, she could be. And she's huge. She's the best. But yeah.
All right. So this is an advice show.
Wait, did you tell? Did you say who wrote the song? We often forget to give the. We solicit songs from fans. They do amazing work, and then about half of the time we don't thank them or give them credit.
Yes.
No.
That's
at the moment, the only person who's been credited thus far is Razor Light's Johnny Burrell, and I think that needs.
And I'm really hoping that he wrote this song because. Because then
it all ties it up in a neat bow.
Then there'll be egg on your face.
It was Joe Wackett from the UK. That's why I chose that song specifically. He says he has some great music up on Spotify, SoundCloud under the name Joe Wackett, WACKETT. So if we can shout it out, and shout out to my brother George, who's watched every Jake and Amir episode twice. Wow, thank you, Joe and George, a Joseph
nice.
And a George
combo.
Got
Joseph and George. English and a double act.
Yeah. I mean, epic. I couldn't hear the accent there either. So he's sort of an Adele type. If you
yeah, he's more Adele. He's more of an Adele than a JB. We can move on from that. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. We're looking for, we're reading real emails from real people. This is, I should say, If I Were You, an advice show. Sometimes just me and Jake answering questions. Sometimes we have friends. Today we have HeadGum's newest podcasters, again from It is London, right? You guys are in London right
Absolutely.
Now?
Absolutely.
We are in London right now.
Fuck yeah. All right. From London, Max and Yvonne.
Oh, yeah.
Buckingham Palace podcast studio itself.
This is a question sent from a man, an American man born in 1991. I don't know if that helps color this vision of this man in your mind's eye, but we need a fake name, something we can refer to him as so that we can keep him completely anonymous. So either Max or Yvonne, do you guys have an American man's name we can call this guy?
Chad.
Great. You're saying there's no Chads over there?
Absolutely not.
There is not. Whilst this is a very quick question, sorry. Talking about American names. In my school, we had two Americans come over for one term, and one of them, a boy, was called Carol. And
bullied him? Is it? Yeah. Are you about to?
Yeah, we all bullied him because it was a girl's name. But his argument was it was a boy's name because double R double L, dude.
Mm.
So I just wanted to double check: is double R double L Carol a boy's name?
No, you were right to make fun of that man.
Well, okay, good.
He
good.
Had a girl's
name. No, he didn't even have a name.
It was important for you to sort of shame him.
Carol with two R's and two L's isn't a spelling of anything. That's...
Yeah. No.
He should have been bullied for the extra letters that they threw in there.
Yeah, I think the letters is what does it for me. Way more.
Carol is a surname. I've heard Carol as a surname with two R's and two L's.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
It was twins called Carol and Perry.
Interesting.
Really? Yeah. Anyway, on to Chad.
Hold on, because now
with four R's.
I feel like now that we've established that Carol was rightfully bullied, we should probably try to reach back out so Amir and I can bully him as well.
There was a famous actor in America named Carol O'Connor who played Archie Bunker like in the 70s and 80s. And his name was Carol, indeed, with two R's, two L's. But this guy shouldn't have relied on people knowing that. So yeah, let's go back to bullying him indeed.
Okay. I respect that even as evidence starts to mount that he has a valid name, your thesis remains ultimately unchanged in light despite this evidence.
Let him know that we do know about Carol O'Connor, and that's more the exception than the rule. And
it's the exception that proves the rule.
We considered it. Yeah, we considered it. And you don't have
a name or a leg to stand on.
You don't have a name to us.
100%.
Anyway, let's call this guy Chad.
Yeah.
Chad Carroll.
Writes,
recently, the TV show iCarly was revived on Paramount TV. I was a little too old to watch the show when it came out originally, but my little sister liked it, so whenever I came home from college, we would watch it together, and it has a small place in my heart, which is why I would like to watch the revival. When I brought it up to my wife that we need a subscription to Paramount TV to watch iCarly, she said that we didn't need another subscription to a streaming service, but also kind of teased me for wanting to watch iCarly. I will admit it's a guilty pleasure, but the more she teased me about it, the more I felt lame wanting to watch it. And at the end, she said, go for it, but now I'm starting to think maybe I should not be watching iCarly. Should I just watch the revival opener proudly or watch it at night once my wife goes to sleep, ready to change the channel if she were to enter the room? Or should I just forget about it? I've been watching clips of the revival and I feel like I'm missing out. Thanks for all your help. Thanks. Love, Chad, a.k.a. Carol.
Right. Oh, Carol's a nickname, not a surname.
Yeah, Carol's a nickname. Three R's, cool. Five L's.
Okay, great.
Did you guys have this show over there, iCarly, or is that a purely American thing that didn't make its way?
I vaguely am aware of iCarly, but just as a name. So could you explain to us what it is?
Yeah, can you? Were you a fan?
I was too old. Like, is iCarly the same as Hannah Montana? Like that range of like shows where it was like a Disney afternoon show in the early 2000s, I think.
Yeah. I just missed iCarly. I was like tail end sweet like Life of Zach and Cody. That was the last thing I saw.
Right.
You know?
But the larger issue is, should this man be ashamed to watch this children's show? And should he pay for Paramount TV, which is a new subscription service, to watch it?
Got it. And iCarly, does it matter? I'm still not fully clear on the premise. Does it matter what the premise was?
I mean, no. I have no idea what it's about. But I believe it was starring Miranda Cosgrove, who is a Disney tweenager. And maybe she had a vlog and some friends. That's my guess. That's what I would guess.
Let's build this out. This is good. Okay.
It was internet related because it was like iCarly. She was like the first lady that like either webcasted or maybe she was trapped inside of a computer. Or
no,
something
here
like
here's
that.
The log line. Unless you guys want to build it out because I have the answer. So
okay, what's the answer?
The answer.
Let's get into it. I want to know the truth.
Carly and her pals' web show is a smash hit. Now they must balance internet stardom with the struggles of everyday high school life.
There you go.
I feel like the four of us could really relate to that. We're four dudes that Absolutely. Had internet web shows that were smashing successes, and it was hard for me to balance school life at the height of Jake and Amir, because I was 7 years removed from high school, but still.
Yeah, you're 27. Definitely not high school life for you, right?
I was hanging out at them. So it's hard to balance.
Yeah, for sure. Well, likewise, look, I mean, guys, look, the first two episodes of our podcast dropped an hour ago, and life Holy just shit. Hasn't been the same since. Yeah, it's like
pretty exciting.
Now that Sound Deals is on the radio waves, how will you guys go back to high school? It's going to be so different.
Well, we're going to have to limit our regular visits to high schools now.
Wow. Stuff.
I'm worried they won't let me in.
Yeah. They probably shouldn't. They definitely should not let you in, regardless of the podcast.
Even if you go once or twice.
Yeah, no, I agree. We're all on the same page. But should our boy Chad be allowed in to the wonderful world of Carly?
I guess broader speaking, do you guys have a guilty pleasure that you like watching while your significant other is not in the room? Like, is there a show that you save for solo viewing?
Pornography.
A group viewing? Yep, pornography. I haven't seen that show, but it sounds pretty good.
Yeah, what streaming service is that on?
iPorn. Yeah, I remember that.
iPorn's probably
not heard of that one. I think I watched the majority of my professional wrestling in a solo capacity.
Sports is a common one. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been girlfriends have been like obliging over the years and like giving it a go, but I almost feel bad at their like extending themselves and the goodwill of them sitting down at like the Royal Rumble when I'm excitedly like, and it's basically 30 people, and honestly, all of these storylines, I mean, it just culminates in this incredible. No one else should have to deal with my
on a disappointment scale. If a wife were to walk in and find a husband watching A, pornography, B, professional wrestling, or C, iCarly, which do we think would be the most disappointed?
Well, obviously your wife walked in on you masturbating to professional wrestling the other day, which was, I mean, that was a separate.
I'm glad you went with that and not iCarly.
Quite. No.
Yeah. So she's laughing at him for watching a girl's show, right?
But she's having a laugh, as they
having
call
a laugh.
It.
Sorry. Yeah,
that's pretty good.
Well, I feel like it. Oh, Maxine Yvonne just actually froze. So,
okay, we're still back.
You guys froze for a second, but it
right at Jake's accent. So it seemed like you were just sort of really, really mad at him for saying that.
No, not at all. We're getting a sign saying our connection is unstable. Great. It's because we got steam powered internet in London, Governor. So it's got to top up the
throw some more coal onto the router.
Yeah.
yes. So let's just see your genuine reaction, Jake. Let's hear that line again, just so we can see how they actually.
I think what I had said was, "You having a laugh?" yep. They're okay, they laugh.
Like they actually
really.
Like that.
That's great. Okay. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
can we get another sentence? Anything?
Yeah. What do you think, Governor?
That's pretty good.
It's beautiful.
That's actually really good. That's really beautiful, man. Hey, thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, thank you for sharing
that. Forget it. Okay. Hey.
That was really proud. I'm proud of you. It's so weird.
Yeah, I feel privileged to have been a part of that.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, I think it, like, you know, although you're, you know, it kind of really speaks to my British experience and makes me almost understand myself more having heard that. So,
wow. Yeah. I'm really glad that it feels like this, that created, it fostered a really powerful connection between all of us. I'm humbled by your reaction. That's pretty.
This is a moment.
It's pretty cool, man.
There it is.
What was that?
And we're out. I'm afraid.
Really?
That actually kind of teetered over into what I would consider quite offensive, and I feel myself retracting away and kind of damaged by that.
That's going to happen when you do an accent on the razor's edge. That's why you guys loved it so much at first. But I teetered. I fell.
Yeah.
Nice.
I pushed for the edge. I found the edge. I fell into the abyss.
Yeah. It's an iconoclastic kind of, you know, you're
I'm an anti-hero.
yeah, essentially.
This is your origin story. all right. So basically, is there any shame to watching a guilty pleasure? You don't have to feel, everybody's got their things, whether it's professional wrestling, pornography.
No,
I don't know, Jake, what do you watch when Jill's not around more than anything?
I watch Formula One Drive to Survive, the Formula One documentary that I think is phenomenal.
Everyone is
really good
about that.
But Jill doesn't like the loud noises on that show, so I watch it by myself in the bath and
in Bath, England.
I have a thought on this is that Jill was watching that documentary Cheer, and I wasn't interested and I didn't want to watch.
That's
what is that?
Brilliant.
Yeah, it's a cheerleading documentary, and I've heard it.
I've watched it and it's amazing. So get on board.
Well, and here's what happened. Like, I wasn't interested. Jill was watching. I guess you could say it was kind of a guilty pleasure, but it's like critically acclaimed, so not really. But anyway, I was just around. I eventually get sucked in. To the point where I was watching the last episode, knowing nothing, and I fully cried. So I'm positing that this guy should sign up for the Paramount Plus free trial. You get 7 days for free. I did it to watch Sonic Underground. And he can burn through the full season of iCarly, watch it publicly, no shame, and your girlfriend is going to get sucked in, and you won't have to worry about watching it alone.
Sorry, what is Sonic Underground?
For the D&D podcast, I had to watch a Sonic the Hedgehog animated series where he has a girlfriend and a brother. And Dr. Robot.
Brother. Yeah,
he has a brother named Manic.
This is an interesting thing. I'm just thinking, the fact that you said it was for something, that kind of gave you an out if we judged you for watching it.
I had to do
reason.
It for work. So this that's
you
good.
Had to do it.
Yeah.
For
so
work.
This guy gets some sort of job or assignment. We can dare him right now to watch iCarly, and then he has this.
It wouldn't be hard for him to get to like be the iCarly writer for BuzzFeed or AV Club, right?
Yeah,
like,
you get on that beat, mm-hmm. get a job. I've written for magazines and papers in my time, and all manner. You know, it's the universe. You've got to do it for work. You've got to do it for work.
It's easy.
Just get a stable job in the media reporting on exclusively iCarly.
You can expense your
Paramount subscription.
That's
for one thing.
That's tax wise,
and you can binge it. You can binge the whole series because you have a deadline.
Yeah. So and you have to watch it with her specifically because she has to sort of like help you copy edit the piece you're writing for the New Yorker.
It's a co-byline.
iCarly.
Oh wow, he got a gig at the New Yorker for this. This is
yes.
He really caught David Remnick on a good
got
day.
A back door.
Listen,
he started to do the cartoons, and then they pitched him to work on this iCarly.
Can you
an irreverent sort of cheeky give him, column about him and his wife?
Can you give him just a sample lead for this article that he's writing? Like what would the lead sound like?
It would be like my marriage was falling apart, and when I realized that iCarly should be WeCarly, and it's like, whoa, that's pretty. This is all part of the lead. Whoa, that's pretty interesting.
And there's
she
two.
Thought.
Wait.
Yeah. So it's a quote attributed to I think the wife, but I'm gonna have
just like my English accent. You had me at first. I was really on board.
I was in, then I was out. Then it became an attributed quote to someone else. And then, it's like...
What I want to see is the TV spin-off version, which is based on this article.
On the New Yorker article.
In a kind
of Sex
and the City-esque way that he's writing about iCarly.
So Chad becomes Carrie Bradshaw. A classic New York columnist, iCarly columnist. In between meeting the gals.
It's called iCarly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's like Roman numeral 2, Carly.
iCarly so with two R's and six L's.
starring Chad O'Carroll.
Yeah, starring Chad.
I have a very ignorant question. Do you guys have every streaming service we have in America?
Without knowing for sure, I will say 100,000% no, we
definitely
don't.
Definitely no.
No way.
Because I keep seeing stuff that is available on HBO Max, and we just don't have that over here.
We don't have that.
You couldn't even get it. Like Hulu, Netflix, do you have those?
Yeah, we got Netflix with a slightly different offering. I think we have Hulu?
I don't know.
I guess neither of us have Hulu, clearly. We don't. I know for a fact that the WWE Network is now switching over to NBC's Peacock.
Ooh.
Network.
Do you guys have Peacock?
You do have?
No, we don't have Peacock. We still have the WWE Network. I'm using the non-royal we to just mean.
Wow. Disney? Disney Plus?
Got Disney Plus.
Yeah, we got Disney Plus, which now has its own like extra bit inside it, doesn't it? Like Disney's super VIP premium or something.
iCarly should be on Disney Plus.
That's good to know.
Wasn't it a Disney show?
Yeah, why would it?
You know, the fucking the bidding war that happens between these giant empires. I think they probably paid close to $1 billion, Paramount did, for the rights to iCarly.
No doubt, no doubt.
Spinoff, sequels, residuals.
It's a huge industry.
So that's it. Get a job, learn how to watch without any guilt and repercussion, and try to get paid for it. Let's take a break.
Yeah.
And thanks some sponsors. We'll be back on the other side of these messages with Max and Yvonne. Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show. We love Squarespace.
That's correct. I use Squarespace over and over again, all the time. It is my go-to.
Yeah, you've built multiple websites.
Yes.
It's kind of insane. You're like almost a Squarespace entrepreneur at this point. You must have made, 3, 5, 50 websites?
I am a mogul. Yeah, I am a scion of Squarespace.
So you know how easy it is to design, mm-hmm. and you don't need to know much programming, if any, at all, to create a professional-looking online store, portfolio, blog, vlog. Hell, you'll even create a slog.
I have created a slog, and it is a slog.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's a secret vlog.
Right.
You can even purchase domain names through Squarespace. Jake, what did you find that people can buy right now?
Fly a bike. You've heard of fly a kite. Well, how about you fly a bike? That's where you tie a string to a bike and run with it and see if it will fly. And if it does, you'll post it on this website, flyabike.com. Thanks, Sharks.
That's pretty good, actually. Yeah. Mine is bikeafly.com, which is also available.
Really?
Yep.
You can bike a fly? That's good.
Yeah, you put a little flea on like a bike. You're like, oh my God, look at this tiny little circus.
Yeah. All right. Cool. That's really smart.
So if you want to buy those domain names, or maybe somebody in your life is turning 50 and you want to buy them a website to show you how much you appreciate them, you can buy their fullname.com if it's available. You can do it all.
Gorgeous.
And you can also do email campaigns. You can sell content. They got award-winning customer service. They even got a new AI tool called Squarespace AI to update written content on any website, product description, or email. So it can generate instant personalized results for your brand, which is kind of cool.
Very cool.
So to get access to all these cool features and more, just head to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain by using that code segments.
Baller.
Yeah, that's squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase. And then when you're ready to launch, you'll just use that code segments.
Segments.
Thank you, Squarespace. Thank you to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Wow. Very excited.
Jake, did you know nearly 75% of people have subscriptions that they just completely forgot about?
I did know that, but only because we've done one of these ads before, and I was floored when I found out.
Yeah, streaming content, you download an app to learn a thing, and then 13 months later, you're paying $6.95 for a flexibility course that you haven't taken since 2022.
Mm-hmm. You're stiff as a board. I mean, my God.
That's going to happen. Well, thank you, because Rocket Money is a personal finance app.
That's right.
That finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower those bills so you can grow your savings.
Beautiful.
Rocket Money sort of scours your bill. They say, get rid of this, this, that, and the other, and then you can suddenly find yourself with some extra cash in your pocket.
Exactly right.
Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions. Holy smokes.
Really good.
An average of $740 a year when you use the app's robust features. You found some stuff on Rocket Money that you canceled, right?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, you don't have to name names, of course, but like what? You saved, I thought you said close to $1,500, $1,600 a month?
That's, hey, easy does it.
A lot of gray area, okay. Quasi-legal,
no,
kind
no.
of dangerous subscriptions that Rocket Money me. Found.
That wasn't me.
And canceled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and actually now I want them back.
I'm scared without them. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/segments.
Oh, yeah.
That's rocketmoney.com/segments. rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
Thank you, Rocket Money. And we're back. All right, Max, Yvonne, tell us quickly. You have, let's say, 45 minutes. What is Sound Deals about as a podcast? But you got to keep it within the 45, yeah.
No one's ever asked us to compress it to that length of time before.
Right.
Is it even worth giving it a go within those parameters?
Let's give it the best of British.
I'll start the timer now and cut you off in an
okay.
hour and a half.
Okay,
it's
great.
Going too long.
We will give it the best of British. It is a... Do you guys have QVC?
Yes. Yeah.
Great. It is a QVC-style show. We took it upon ourselves over lockdown to set up the world's first ever podcast shopping network. We are both gainfully employed by the shopping network, and each week we sell a number of items that people may not have heard of before. We sell them as best we can, and we have guests on who also have exciting, potentially unheard of things that they share with the world too.
It's mainly aimed at podcast fans who they skip through to the adverts and then they listen to that and then they just, you know, go to a different podcast and then they skip to the adverts again.
Yes, the entire show is nothing but an advert the entire time. So if it's the commerce side of the emergent podcast industry that you get off on, then you will absolutely adore our show.
All right.
That was our good. Fans wow. actually famously love the ads. I often hear that people don't, that the show doesn't have enough ads. So it sounds like your show is perfect.
Well, that's why it felt like a perfect partnership. That's why, you know, the Max Navan, Jake and I, a HeadGum marriage felt like one made in commercial heaven.
Americans love cash. That's why they love to hear that people are making money, getting that paper, making that cheddar. And so
that's why they call it the American dream.
Those
yeah.
two things.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just awesome to see. It's inspiring, really. Like, I'm reading these comments about our podcast and how the ads are so good, and I'm like on the verge of tears, being proud again. Here I go. I can't fucking believe, I guess it's that time of the month or something, but I'm feeling super sensitive to all this shit with regards to the ads, and it's just, the feedback is so fucking promising. Thank you guys, and thank you guys for listening. Thank you, Max and Yvonne, for being part of this journey with us.
You shouldn't be reading the comments while we're recording the episode.
It's beautiful. Yeah, no, it's like, there's nothing more touching than
I'm getting them in as push
capitalism.
Notifications.
Yeah, 100%. Yes. It's a beautiful...
How's that capitalism going over there? Is it as unfiltered, unadulterated, and chaotic as it is here? Or are you guys a little more chill about the fact that you should make money as much money and then die?
I would say no one in England has kind of managed to mainline capitalism quite as hard as the Uber driver who drove us around LA and no fewer than four times turned back to us and repeated the phrase, "I'm a monster for the money, man. I'm a monster for the money."
And then when he found out that we were actors, he gave us his headshot.
Yes, indeed.
And he told us that he too was an actor.
Absolutely. And a monster for the money.
So we're still number one, is what you're trying to say.
Oh, nobody does it better than you guys. You know, we're giving it a go. You know, our government's pretty free market capitalist. You know, they're kind of doing it on the sly. You know, gradually replacing our famous and beloved socialized healthcare system with, you know, just a series of profit making private companies that will kill us all. But we're nowhere near as far down the line on that front. We're trying. And we're hoping that our podcast will contribute to that, you know, that that journey of our country and the degradation of, you know, of,
become a monster for the money.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. We're not yet monsters for the money. You know, we're currently Dr. Jekylls for the money, but we'd like to become a Mr. Hydes for the money.
Yeah. You're Bilbo Baggins right when he reaches for the ring around Frodo's neck.
Yeah.
We're for the money.
We're hoping the money will allow us to become more monstrous. That's the kind of the quest that we're on.
I was going
to
say, you see it working out so well in America, and I don't blame you guys for wanting that out there as well.
For us, we have no criticisms. Not a single thing makes us blink or think that a country should be run in any way differently to literally everything you guys are doing. We're like,
we all have no notes.
It's just that from this studio, it's a big old tit, guys. We want to get into production, you know what I mean? I love that. The character arcs are all pinging. It's jumping off the page.
We're pitching a perfect game. It feels pretty cool.
This is Shaq style behavior from you guys as a
USA.
Country.
Totally. This 400-year experiment is working out, and it is paying dividends.
And it is good.
It's pretty neat. It is good. Okay, so on your podcast, is it a random word generator that gives you guys the products that you're selling,
Really good question. No, the random word generator's name is Hugh, and he's my brother, and he is also the sound engineer of the show. But our vision is that eventually the Sound Deals listeners will start to contribute products of their own.
We'll be able to sell those,
and we'll enthusiastically sell those, and so will our guests.
That's nice.
That's the long term plan.
And is Hugh coming up with them on the spot, or is
no?
In
as
advance?
Far as I understand it, he withdraws to his home and ingests quite a number of substances, and then the next day kind of emerges blinking into the daylight with a list. But the crucial thing is we never see this list because he's got to keep him. He keeps right. him. Keeps him stum, keeps him in his pocket, and then we get him flashed up.
And he doesn't tell you any. He doesn't tell you what the product is. He doesn't tell you anything about what he thinks it does. He just gives you the word.
We figure
or
it
two
out
words.
On the spot.
Yeah,
what it is mm-hmm. and why you should buy it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Just I get quite paranoid. I like to not have even a whisper or a hint of.
Whereas I hack into Hugh's account, I find out what it is, then I spend maybe in a couple of weeks just...
brainstorming.
Yeah.
Spitballing, yeah.
So what you're actually listening to is the world's first 50% improvised, 50% a man...
meticulously planned
to a script in his own mind that he's not shared with me, which is why we think right. you'll find the listening experience very, very discordant and unsettling, because it truly makes no sense.
And we've got some great guests as well.
We sure do.
Yeah, I mean, between those two things, I feel like there's something for everybody.
We hope so. No, it's totally off the cuff and improvised, but it's a strange and magical world has started to grow around the Sound Deals warehouse from whence we sell all of our products.
Interesting.
The other key element of the show is that Ivan, as part of his contract, agreed to test every single one of the products on himself
for 30 days.
So
it's the Sound Deals guarantee.
It's the guarantee. So whatever product we happen to be selling in the warehouse, Ivan will have first-hand experience of that bad boy.
And happily.
Amazing. Well, sweet. Well, thank you guys for joining the HeadGum Network. And I'm sure if you guys like this show, you'll thoroughly enjoy it.
So, Amy, you cut me off. We've actually got another 41 minutes to explain the show.
Oh, my God. I feel so rude. But you know what? I'm trying to get through as many ad breaks as possible. That's why I'm sort of trying to hurry this along.
That's
so
the Sound Deals way. We endorse that.
I applaud it.
We're a monster for the money, man.
We're monsters for the money, man.
We're monsters for the money.
Yeah.
How did you get the same Uber four times? That seems like some sort of weird coincidence.
No, he was just...
He just worked very hard.
He's a monster. You heard the guy, man. Don't you believe him? He was.
Like, I guess if he drops you off and then waits, he's going to be the closest driver.
Yeah, for
right.
sure.
I heard there was surge pricing around here.
Yeah. He was the hardest working Uber driver in LA. He was picking everybody up that day.
All right, let's get through another question. This guy is... inquiring. I think he's also British because he ends it with a cheers, mates. So
oh, that's definitely
let's give this
British.
Guy a British question. Oh, actually, a lady, a British British name for this lady.
Hmm. A lady's British name. Petunia?
Right. Okay, a 90-year-old lady's.
What were you going to go with? what was your... We can choose.
What's quintessentially British, though? Because I do feel like...
Elizabeth, the Queen's name.
The greatest name.
Sorry, I forgot to salute.
Yeah, Lizzie.
Lizzie.
I could see the tears welling in your eyes.
Oh,
even across this low-resolution Zoom.
She's done so much for the country.
Lizzie.
She's so stoic.
Lizzie McGuire.
Yes.
Right.
What?
I've been with my guy for 10 years, believe it or not. 100% happy. Recently, I looked over his tabs on our shared computer and saw that he's been subredditing because he wants to open up our relationship. I think Ooh. He's into the idea because he's been going on a version of Buddhism recently, and this feels like a natural progression. Makes sense to me. I've been in a polyamorous relationship before, and it suits me well. My question is, assuming he brings it up, should I go for it, knowing it would make me happy, but also fearing that he may not be able to handle it in the long run? I really, really don't want to ever break up with him. Personally, I think it would be dope and possible, but for our long-term odds, should I say no? Or is this a Yolastico situation? You only live and steal the cheese once, is the acronym there. What would you do if you were me? Cheers, mates. Love, Lizzie. Cheers, indeed.
Cheers, indeed.
Cheers, Lizzie.
Not where I thought it was going.
What a roller coaster. Wow. There were twists and turns in that message. I could not have predicted any of the things that were said.
Absolutely.
And,
yeah.
And I love you, Lizzie.
Do you guys
I want to be part of your
open relationships over there? It seems like another American concept that sort of is infiltrating other democracies. Open relationships.
Not a Buddhism concept like Lizzie mentioned?
Yeah.
Well, that was one of the many, many twists. His tab, what it was, then the fact that she was into it, the fact that he was into it via Buddhism, the fact that she was worried, but not for the reason I thought, because she was gonna, she's way more up for it than he is, or she perceives that she might be.
This is like an episode of iCarly.
Yeah, I know, right? One of the later seasons when they were over 10 or something. I feel like the Xennials of the UK are like all in one big open relationship. That's a guess. I feel like millennials such as we are kind of dimly aware of the open relationship vibe, but it hasn't really permeated. And then I think you go older and there are slightly sweaty men with ponytails on kind of yoga retreats who sort of attempt to be in an open relationship with anyone who'll go near them.
Yeah, they're down for an open relationship, but can't find even one closed one. They're just open
to open relations. Yes, they're
now.
Yes, yeah, they're vaguely predatory men, I suppose. but it sounds as though Lizzie and her fella are both British and both exploring the brave. I was going to say uncharted, but it sounds like they're both charting these terrains.
Yeah, Lizzie charted it. Lizzie was charting this thing.
And she charted it so happily that she's worried that he can't keep up.
Oh, yeah. No, she's cool. Mm-hmm. She's been on that Buddhism open relationship tip since before this guy was even interested via subreddit.
Yeah. And forgive me for my total ignorance, but what on earth does Buddhism have to do with open relationships? Because I thought zero.
The Buddha speaks very highly, of loving all things equally, whether it be man, animal, plant. And it goes on from there. I spent like a few years in Tibet studying this stuff.
No, you did not.
Kind of being like a...
Getting close to the Buddha.
Monk. A freelance monk.
Slash.
Nice. You didn't want the monk corporate 9-to-5 monk life in a big firm.
Yeah, I mean, it was a little too much, and there wasn't a lot of money in it. So cash-wise, I was sort of turned off at the end of the day that the Buddha did not necessarily but line up with my values.
Sure.
You were Airbnb-ing your room at the monastery, right, to try to make a change on the side.
Yes, right. Yeah. I was leasing it out to Tibetan music festivals and video producers.
Well, it was a huge
huge
room, wasn't
it? Me out.
Gigantic room too.
It was an enormous room. Yeah, they gave me the sickest suite. It was like a two bedroom sort of place, hillside with views of Buddha. So I was like set up pretty cherry over there.
Free Tibet? No. Surge Tibet.
Surge price.
That's right.
Yeah.
So if she really, really does not want to lose her man, it seems like she shouldn't risk this open relationship. She knows more than we do.
It could be great. That's crazy.
I mean, all I'm hearing is two people who clearly bang up for an open relationship. I mean, the sense to me, when I became an expert, having watched one Louis Theroux documentary about open relationships, is that there's almost always one party who is clearly, clearly way more into it, and the other one is kind of there under duress.
And what I like about this potential relationship is that I think this guy is going to be stepping into it thinking that he's more into it, but then, lo and behold, Lizzie amps it up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But surely that means maybe he will want to match the amount she's into it.
Match it by finding other partners and just gradually driving a wedge between them as they essentially end up in separate bedrooms with separate sex lovers, or...
Okay, well, if that's what you think poly life is...
okay. That's slightly...
I love this.
Sorry, Ivan. Sorry, Ivan. It seems to have touched a nerve there. Tell me about...
So I really don't know, because I am married to one woman for the rest of my life.
Wow.
and I'm
how old school.
I'm pretty sure there won't be any subreddit scrolling, and I'm pretty sure there won't be any conversations. No, there won't. So I don't know, but you know, I do feel like ultimately, if they're both on a quest together, then they can fulfill each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's beautiful.
For sure. Like Sartre.
I mean, it's wrong, but it's really beautiful. It's really cool.
You gotta just both go for it, right? Isn't Buddhism all about the death of the ego? So only when you are, you know, stood in a bar watching your girlfriend on a date with someone else, or receiving your fourth text message of the week saying, have dinner on your own, I'm busy. Only then will you truly know to what extent you have annihilated your ego, or to what extent it's just getting a pummeling with steel toe cap boots.
Yeah. All right. How about a quick, what would you do if you were this lady? I would say I would not open it up. It seems too sticky. This girl seems to really like this guy, and why risk it? So I would say no go. Jake?
I would 100% do it. He wants it. She wants it. The only problem is that it's going to be too good for her. So that's not a real problem.
All right. So that's one for, one against.
Yeah, kill the ego.
M and I.
Feed the Buddha.
What do you guys think?
Unleash the Buddha within you.
If I were her, I would give him one chance at a get out. I'd sit across the table and go, I found your tabs. Don't panic. I'm down. But look me in the eye. I am down. Can you keep up?
They need a safe word to just stop.
Yeah, yeah. Like, if you want it, we can do it. And if not, I don't have to. It's over to you, baby.
She should download Bumble or Hinge or Tinder or Orion, our dating app, and build out a profile, get a ton of matches, go to your boyfriend or whatever, your husband, whatever it is, and just be like, are you ready? Do I have the green light? Let's go.
Oh, sorry, those tabs weren't mine. My friend was using our computer. What?
Yeah, no, maybe she should wait for him to broach the subject just in case, and wait for him to be ready to open it up, but then have that caveat in her back pocket.
That's pretty prudent. That's very prudent. If it gets broached, she's ready for the conversation.
But Lizzie and your man, I wish you well. I think it's, you know, it's an exciting time for you both.
All right, good work. Let's take one more break. We have one more questions to get through on the other side of these messages. Nah, just joking. They're messages.
Right, nice.
Thank you to Helix for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Jake, you love Helix. You sleep on a Helix.
I certainly do. That is correct. I'm proud to do it.
It's your favorite mattress. You know why? Because it's personalized to you.
That's right. I took the sleep exam. I passed the sleep test. I am certified, licensed, professional sleep, not quiz, test taker. Kind of like the bar, but for mattresses, folks.
Yeah, it says you take a Helix sleep quiz and you can find your mattress in under 2 minutes.
For some.
Super fast,
super simple. It took me 11 days to take that test.
Jesus Christ.
Yes. It was open book, but questions. I really wanted it to be perfect.
Of course it's open book. It's just how you sleep.
Not just that, but yeah, kind of.
And then Helix has a lineup of over 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection.
That's actually what I sleep on, folks.
Wow. So you take the quiz, and then they ship you the mattress. And all mattresses come with a 10 or 15 year warranty. So if you're sleeping on a mattress for so long, it might be time to upgrade. And the best way to upgrade is by going to helix.com/segments.
Right.
Then you take that quiz and you get 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows if you go to that URL.
Damn.
So check it out. Go to helixsleep.com/segments and use the code HELIXPARTNER20.
Right on.
So the URL is helixsleep.com/segments. The code is HELIXPARTNER20. All one word. You get 20% off your mattress.
Right.
This is the best offer yet, and it won't last long.
No, sir.
So with Helix, better sleep starts now. It starts right now.
That's right.
Thanks, Helix.
Thank you.
Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
It can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin, but that's not helping anybody.
Right on. It is not.
If you're feeling depressed or anxious about the state of the world or some sort of interpersonal relationship you're having with family, friends, loved ones, your job potentially.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's true.
The best way to help yourself out of life's difficult situations is to talk to a professionally licensed therapist. And the best way to find a therapist is with BetterHelp.
Exactly. Right.
Finding a therapist used to be so difficult. You used to like have to ask a friend of a friend, drive to a waiting room, give it a shot, see how it goes. But with BetterHelp, you just fill out a brief questionnaire, you get matched with a licensed therapist right away, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Perfect.
And you know the whole thing's online too.
Oh yeah. So you don't have to drive somewhere. You don't have to sit anywhere. You can just log on from your house. You can even text your therapist, which is very nice.
That's cool. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Just visit betterhelp.com/segments today to get 10% off your first month. Therapists can be very expensive. With BetterHelp, they're affordable. And if you go to BetterHelp, HELP.com/segments, you'll even get an extra 10% off their already more affordable price for your first month.
You'll love to hear it.
So treat your mental health seriously. Take advantage of this great offer. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/segments.
Segments.
Thank you, BetterHelp. And we have returned. Okay, one last one. This is a pretty fairly innocuous question, but I thought, you know, let's answer questions big and small. This one is a 25-year-old woman from Dallas, Texas. And what better name for her than Max Rivon? What do you got?
Just for the listener at home, Ivan, to get himself into character, I'm watching him holding what is clearly an invisible Stetson.
Yes, that's quite right.
And, a sombrero.
And I'm imagining her saying, hi.
Oh, yes, that sounds like a 25-year-old Texan woman.
All your name suggestions are 90.
How do you do? My name is... Sally.
Sally. Yeah, not bad. Go. Not bad. A long walk, but it was worth it.
Absolutely. You know. It was a real journey there.
All right, listen to this Texan beginning. Hey, y'all. Classic so far.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I'm a 25-year-old woman from Dallas, and my problem is so small. My pandemic hobby has been crocheting, and I've gotten pretty good at it. I've made lots of cute clothing items, and I've posted it to my Instagram because I'm proud of them. My friends and family and acquaintances have all been asking in the comments section and DMs for me to crochet them things. Some even offer to pay. But here's the thing. I don't want to make shit for other people. This hobby's fun because there's no pressure. I can make whatever I want and it doesn't have to be perfect because it's my own. The idea of making things for other people kind of stresses me out and I legit don't want to make things for other people. I want to make them for me. Is there a non-asshole way to tell people no? Right now I'm just ignoring these requests but people are starting to follow up. What would you do?
Oh, hell. God.
I absolutely love this. And can Sally. I instantly give you a potential solve?
Yes.
Okay. Mm. You find an Etsy shop that does basically what you're doing. Then you say, hey, look, I don't want to advertise this, but because you've contacted me, this is my Etsy shop. It's under a different name.
Wow.
But just go through that. And then you just let them buy someone else's
stuff. I really thought
stuff.
You were about to say, and then you broker a deal with the Etsy shop so that you just get a load of money and a referral.
And that is capitalism.
Monster for the money, man.
Yes.
I'm a monster
you
for the money, man.
Buy Etsy shit.
That's just
and
free
you
money.
Sell it at a fucking premium.
Yeah.
That's how you
Or you do my first idea, which is just pass on the business to someone else.
Just give it all away. Perfect. No.
That is excellent.
Absolutely.
Now we're fucking on the same page. Yes, we corrupted you fully.
Absolutely.
Let's do this shit.
Sally,
you've
got to make that American dollar. You know, everything's bigger in Texas. Your bank balance needs to be bigger. And you should not do a single bit of work. You shouldn't lift a finger. You're crocheting for yourself only. It's me, myself, and I. That's the American dream. No one should benefit from your skills. If they want crochet, they should learn to crochet themselves. It's disgusting.
Yeah, you get paid by being the middleman. That's how we make the money.
Yeah.
I broker the transaction.
Yeah.
And I get a fee. That's the shit.
That's real work. That's beautiful work. That, you know, that's
actually you owe Yvonne 5% of everything you make for that, just the suggestion, I think.
Absolutely.
You have to Venmo him.
For sure.
Unfortunately, we don't have Venmo over here. But, you know, if you just keep it in a little pot.
Give it to me.
And when I'm in Dallas, I'll come find you.
It'll be very soon. Very, very soon.
Oh, he'll be able. No doubt.
All right, that was a quick one, but I can't imagine a better answer than that. Jake, do you have any quarantine hobbies that you don't want to share with people?
Taking baths and watching race car documentaries. That's been my main my main shit. But I Instagram live that, so I don't have a problem sharing it.
Nice.
That's content for sure. By the way, check out Jake's OnlyFans. He takes one bath every week. Answers your questions, sort of. squeezes his little junk underneath the suds.
Knock it off. Cool it. Easy does that.
But,
squeezing my little junk under the sun, did you say?
No, the suds. The suds.
All right, cool. Yeah. Never mind. Yeah. So, all right. I have no qualms with that then.
All right, sweet. Thank you for your questions. Thanks for the theme song submissions. The email address for all that shit is ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. Max and Yvonne, thanks for taking the time. I'm in LA. Jake's in New York. You guys are in England. Holy shit. We did it.
Wow.
We sure did. We lived the dream.
It was an absolute pleasure. Thanks, boys.
And the name of the podcast.
Name of the podcast is, yes, name of the podcast is Sound Deals, and it is out now. First two eps, baby.
Damn.
Two episodes. Mm-hmm. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
So listen to that, and we'll be back, of course. I think we got another bonus episode Thursday this week, and if not for that, then we'll be back next week on Monday. Mm-hmm. Thanks so much. Goodbye. Namaste. Cheers and toodaloo. Everybody. Oh, wait.
Cheerio, mate.
The closing theme song. I totally forgot. The opening theme song was Joe from the UK. And this closing one, I have it. It's a duck-themed song. Somebody wrote us a duck thing-themed song. If you use it, please shout out Goon Green and Claire Compuzzi and their album Duck, available on Bandcamp and Spotify. Follow goon.green on Instagram. Probably more of an outro than an intro song. All right. So, all right. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you to Goon Green and Claire Compuzzi for that song. Here it is. Duck Thing. Bye.
Let me guess the duck thing.
Very wrong. The second duck.
Cynodarks? Cynodarks? No. You can do work with hands like that. Quack, quack. That's a duck.
Yeah, we'll be down at the duck.
Okay, I'm taking a hit on the duck thing, the high school track fiasco thing, and the second duck thing.
I'm doing my leg should be, and I think it's dirty toes. Feel like fucking on a road, staring down at my frozen nose, and it's dead.
Kind of stemmed from the first duck thing, which, correct me if I'm wrong, you said you take a hit on?
Twisted, bouncy, bumpy, boring, chunky, stepping down a hole. Pissy, angry, mousy, soggy, like a wax in a wooden box. Twisted, bouncy, bumpy, boring, chunky, stepping down a hole. Pissy, angry, mousy, soggy, like a wax in a wooden box.
That was a HeadGum Original.